you. Lord, bless your word. Give us ears to hear. Remove every and any distraction that would keep us from hearing from you. Let your word go forth with power. Touch, strengthen, bless. Your words, my mouth, in Jesus' name, amen. Don't let the devil use you. One of the most significant practices that we engage in is the practice of naming. While it's not something we do every day, monthly, quarterly, or even annually, naming is a significant activity. Whether we are naming a person, place, thing, concept, idea, or even giving a nickname, naming is a significant activity. If you let me preach this morning and walk with me sermonically, naming, I hate to say it, in our contemporary culture, for too many has become silly, crass, derogatory, demeaning, thoughtless, and mindless. When we name somebody, a child in particular, who has to carry the weight of that particular name for the entirety of his or her life, the name should be more than cute. The name should be more than creative. The name should be more than stylish or seasonal. There are some names that are stylish and seasonal. I hate to say it, but sometimes you can tell what person was, what mama and daddy were listening to based upon what they named their child. Y'all ain't gonna say amen. You can tell mama or daddy's favorite group. Come on, talk to me. There are more Devontaes in this generation. Y'all not gonna say amen. Amen, somebody. Some of y'all will get that when you go home because mama and daddy were listening to Jodeci. Amen, somebody. Naming ought to be significant. When we name a child, a person, place, thing, or idea, it ought to have some meaning. There ought to be some intentionality. There ought to be some spirituality and significance to the name. According to this New Testament text, we encounter and witness the significance of naming. Herod, the great leader of the New Testament, who is responsible for giving leadership to the entirety of the Jewish diaspora in Palestine, has received the nickname Herod the Great. Herod the Great is given the nickname or moniker Great because of the wide geographic region that he gives leadership to. More significantly, he's given the name or nickname Great because of his benevolence and beneficence towards the Jews who made up the diaspora and Palestine. With a nickname like Herod the Great, you assume that Herod is large of stature, large of spirit, magnanimous, gracious, merciful, big in magnanimity. Yet as we look at this New Testament text, we discover that while he is given the name Herod the Great, Herod is any and everything but great. If the truth be known, Herod is a small person in a big position. When I speak of small, I'm not speaking of his physical stature or size, but I'm speaking small in the fact that he's narrow-minded, small-minded, close-minded, small of spirit, tenacity of attitude. Consequently, Herod is a small man in a big position. There's something dangerous when small folk occupy big positions. If you're going to be, come on, don't talk, somebody talk to me in here. If you're going to be a leader, you ought to rise to the level of leadership. If you're going to be the CEO, the president, the bossless, the leader, the HNIC, you ought to be commensurate with the position of the office. It's dangerous to have a small person with nuclear weapons at their disposal. It's dangerous for a small person to manage billions of dollars. It's dangerous for a small person to have influence over global policy. Y'all ain't talking to me. It's dangerous for a small person to even preach behind a pulpit on Sunday mornings. It's dangerous for a small person to be a mama, daddy, or have any influence. Small people don't make good leaders and should not occupy big positions. I wish I had some help this. While Herod has been given the nickname Herod the Great, we discover that Matthew records how Herod is any and everything but great. Herod, according to the text, receives word that Jesus Christ is going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Wise men make their way from Persia to worship the Christ child. As they make their way from Persia to worship the Christ child, they encounter Herod, who is the king of this Palestinian region. Herod encounters them and informs them that he wants to worship Christ alongside of them. Herod is not being honest, but Herod's scheme is to find where Christ is, not so he can worship Christ, but so he can kill Christ. But God always has another move. Come on, talk to me. Herod wants to kill Christ. God speaks a word to Joseph, his stepdaddy, and Mary, and tells them to take Jesus to Egypt where he can be safeguarded and protected. While Jesus is safeguarded and protected in Egypt, the text says the wise men make their way to Christ bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to honor him for his royalty. Text says that God speaks not only to Joseph, but God speaks to the wise men and tells them to leave another way, lest they be discovered by Herod. The text says that when they leave another way, Herod is out of his mind, furious, mad, upset, because he has been outwitted and outfoxed by the wise men and God Almighty. Text says that when Herod discovers he has been outwitted and outfoxed, Herod kills all the boys in the region 2 years and under trying to get to Jesus Christ. Herod has allowed the enemy to use him. Herod has a title. He's the king. Herod has a nickname that says great. But despite having a title and having a position and having a name, Herod allows the enemy to use him. And while many of us have not killed anybody per se, All of us who are humble enough to admit it have to admit that across the journey of our lives, at some time or some point, we too have allowed the enemy to use us. I ain't gonna get many amens preaching this kind of sermon, but for those of us who are spiritually mature and who engage in the discipline of confession, we have to admit there have been times in our lives we have allowed the enemy to use us. No, we didn't kill a group of boys. No, we didn't kill anybody, but we have spoken without thinking. And the enemy used our words to tear down and not build up. Can I preach this to the real folk up in here? When we have spoken words of death, but not spoken words of life, the enemy has used us. When we have nurtured a grudge, but have not sought reconciliation, the enemy has used us. When we have thought the worst of one another, but not thought the best of one another, the enemy has used us. When we have known what was right, but did what was wrong, the enemy has used us. All of us, about almost 800 of us right now, have to admit that at some point in our lives, we have been thoughtless, we have been mindless, we have not been mindful, and the enemy consequently has used us to steal, kill, and destroy. Can I preach this word? The agenda of the enemy is still the same. Jesus has come to have life, give us life, and life more abundantly. But the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And sometimes the devil has used you and I to steal, kill, and destroy one from another. I wish I had some help. Can I preach this? If you allow me to pause parenthetically, the text says that Herod has killed the boys. 2 years and under, Herod has a conspiracy to kill the boys. And while this is 2,000 years ago, don't think Herod is dead. There is still a conspiracy to kill the boys. And I'm preaching this to 99.9%. African-American folk living in Raleigh, North Carolina, those of us who have sons, those of us who have grandsons, those of us who have nephews, those of us who have grandsons need to be mindful. There is still a conspiracy to kill the boys. Y'all better help me preach up in here. Herod doesn't want your son to grow into a strong, virile, upstanding, integrous man. He wants to kill him when he's a boy. If he can get them when they're young, if he can get them hooked when they're young, if they think thug life is popular when they're young, if they think lean is attractive when they're young, if they start smoking and sniffing, dipping and dodging when they're young, he don't have to worry about them when they're older. My gosh, I'm preaching this to save the life of some black boy. If Herod can get them when they're young, he don't have to worry about them preaching the gospel. Don't have to worry about them walking across the stage. Don't have to worry about them being God-fearing, spirit-filled deacons serving the Lord, strengthen the community. He wants to get them when they're young. Y'all better help me preach this word. I don't care if y'all shout, I want to free somebody's mind. So you understand there is still a conspiracy to kill the boys. A prison to pipe, public school to prison pipeline, trying to kill the boys. This whole notion of androgyny sexuality. Y'all don't want to hear it. Trying to kill the boys and make them less of a man. Trying to kill the boys. Got more access to drugs and guns than you have to books, trying to kill the boys. Rappers advertising Xanax,
Percocet and drugs to use, and we buy it, that crap, and bring it into our homes and think, I'm just listening to the beat. Heck no. I want to say something different. Trying to kill the boys. For those of us who have daughters, we raise the question, can I preach this? Who is going to walk my daughter down the aisle? Who's going to take my daughter to the prom? Who's going to take my daughter to the ring dance? Who's going to protect and provide for my daughter? If all the brothers in prison, if all the brothers on the corner, if all the brothers are out of their mind on coke, on crack, on heroin, on lean, on loud, my gosh, who's going to be the preachers of the house? Who gonna be the deacons? Who gonna be the sentinel ministry? Who's gonna protect and provide for our wives and daughters? We got to protect and safeguard the boys. Oh yes. Boys, when your mom and daddy expect more from you, it ain't because they don't love you. It's because they're trying to protect you. When your mom and daddy say, who's in the car? Who you riding with? I need to know his name. I need to know her name. It ain't that they don't love you. They're trying to protect you. I need to know where you going, what time you're going to be home. Answer the phone. Respond to the cell phone. I'm trying to save your life. Can I preach this to the real folk? And let me help somebody. For those of you young and older brothers who thinking it's still popular to be thugged out, to walk with your pants hanging down, to act like you don't have good sense, there is no 401k plan for gangsters. There is a prison cell. And there is a cemetery. You ain't the exception to the rule. My gosh, can I preach this? You can act hard, you can be thugged out, you can act like a hoodlum, you can be a gangster, but my gosh, there are only two destinations, a prison cell, which my gosh, you don't want. You think you walking around with your pants hanging down now. Only the real folk can appreciate this. Or a cemetery where we walk behind you prematurely, unnecessarily, because there is no retirement plan for gangsters, hoodlums, and thugs. Herod's trying to kill the boys. And if we don't protect them, if we don't safeguard them, if we don't keep them from harm's danger, we will lose a generation because we have not protected them from Herod. Herod is used by the devil to kill these boys. I know we don't see ourselves as Herod. We don't think we have some Herod, but all of us have Herod potential. If you don't think about what you're saying before you say it, if you don't pray about what you do before you do it, if you don't cooperate and yield to God exclusively, all of us have the potential to be used by the devil. I'm preaching this to help somebody avoid being used by the enemy. Because once the enemy uses you, come on, preach this, Harry White. The enemy has no redemption plan. There is no second chance. When we give ourselves over to be used by the enemy will use us, despot of us, and say another one bites the dust. How does Herod allow himself to be used by the devil? Allows himself to be used by the devil because of his insane insecurity. Herod is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Palestine. Yet Herod is threatened by the birth of a baby. He has heard this baby is going to be the Messiah, the Christ child, the anointed one, the Savior, the one who will take away the sins from their people. And Herod, according to the text, is troubled concerning the birth of Jesus. For those of us who know something about Herod, we know this about his background. Herod has become so insanely insecure in life that he has killed one of his wives. He has killed his mother-in-law. He has killed three of his sons because anybody who is close to him is viewed through the lens of suspicion, competition, and viewed as a threat. Whenever we start looking at other people as a threat, as competition, as suspicion, our insecurities have gotten out of hand. I'm preaching this to those of us who are watching me right now. All of us have insecurities, but insecurities don't make you insecure. Everybody under the sound of my voice has an insecurity about something. If you had your way, you would make yourself taller, you'd make yourself shorter, you'd make yourself thicker, you'd make yourself thinner, you'd make yourself lighter, you'd make yourself darker, you'd make yourself more this, less of that, more education, more exposure, less of a large nose, fuller lips. If you had your way, you would make yourself in your own image and you would be the picture of security. But life don't work that way. All of us got some insecurities, yet our insecurities don't have to make us insecure. Come on, preach this, Harry. And when you are not conscious and aware and are not willing to tame our insecurities, we become maniacal, egotistical, and view everybody as a threat. Because unless we tame them, our insecurities can get the best of us. Am I preaching this to the real folk? And let me help somebody right now to help you on your journey to becoming more secure. Accept and admit and acknowledge the fact that there's somebody in the world, somebody who can do what you do better than you do it. Some of us are insecure. Can I preach this? Some of us are insecure because we egomaniacal. We got the big head. We don't think anybody can do what we do better than us. And then somebody shows up on the scene. Somebody got a more fierce walk than we got. Somebody got a better physique than we have. Somebody got a better look than we have. Somebody can hit a higher note than we can. Somebody got more education than we have. More looks than we have. And we become insecure because we live in a little small bubble where we are the cat's meow. We the finest thing. We the smartest thing. We the best lookingest thing. We got more than anybody else, honey. Expand your worldview. There's somebody who can hit a higher note. There's somebody else who can preach the gospel. There's somebody else who can do what you do. And when we accept there are other people who are gifted, talented, anointed, they may be younger, may have more than we have, we will get over our stuff and get over our insecurities. But when we allow our insecurities to get the best of us, the devil will use us. Not only does he use him because of his insecurities, he uses him because of his insincerity. I don't preach. The text says that Herod, when the wise men come, Herod says, I want to worship him as well. Herod isn't thinking about worshiping Jesus. Herod doesn't give anything about Jesus. Herod wants to kill Jesus. Yet Herod, under the guise of sincerity, says, I want to worship him as well. When you and I allow insincerity to get the best of us, we play the part, but are not genuine and authentic. We look the part. Come on, talk to me. But are not concerned about living the part. We'll walk the walk, but won't talk the talk. We'll be one person at Watch Chapel on Sunday morning. Y'all ain't talking to me. But another person on Thursday night at Ladies Night. Friday night at the Wine Sip. Y'all ain't talking to me. Saturday night at the club. Y'all ain't, can I preach this up in here? We are living one way. Can I preach this like I was in Baltimore? What we used to say, perpetrating a fraud. They can't handle it. Insincerity allows us to be used by the enemy. We've heard the expression, we are a wolf in sheep's clothing. We can look one way, but play the part. Let me see if I can make it play. One of my favorite and most humorous movies is a movie entitled, I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. Some of us remember that movie from the late 80s. And y'all remember that scene where brother man meets sister girl in the club? Come on, talk to me. And sister girl is fine in the club. Amen, somebody. But brother man and sister girl agreed to make a rendezvous beyond the club. And when they are talking, amen, dialoguing, amen, trying to take it to the next level, sister girl says, well, I got some stuff to tell you. My eyes are really not my eyes, and the colored contacts come out of her eyes. My hair is really not my hair, and the wig comes off, and she got less hair than I do right now. And my physique is not my physique, and amen, everything that you thought was natural, it comes out of her. The legs that you thought were statuesque ain't really a leg, pops it off. And brother man says, I got to go, puts up that finger, said, I got to get up out of here. And she chases him, one leg and all, said, don't you go nowhere. Where you going? I got to, don't you leave. I give you that illustration because that is a picture of insincerity. Looks one way, but it ain't the real thing. And unless you and I become the real thing in our walk with God, in our relationships one with another, we will be easily used by the enemy. Used by the enemy because of insincerity. Used by the enemy because of insecurity. Used by the enemy because he misunderstood his identity. Herod was the king of the Jews. Herod was the king of Palestine. His region was 5,000 miles long. Yet Jesus was born as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And whenever we misunderstand our identity, we will allow the enemy to use us. There is somebody higher than you and I. Y'all ain't talking to me. You and I might be the leader in our family. We might be the patriarch or matriarch in our family. We might be the poemark, the basilisk, the president. We might be the chief potentate of our organization, but that is bound by time and space. There is a God higher than our. There is a name greater than our name. There is somebody larger, greater, more grand than you and I. Herod was the king, but Jesus is King of Kings. Herod was a lord, but Jesus is Lord of Lords. Ain't nobody bigger, badder, greater than Jesus Christ. And when you and I misunderstand our identity, we will make ourselves little gods instead of bowing and yielding to the God of our salvation. Yes, you got some power. Yes, you got some influence. Yes, you got some cachet, but there is a name greater than your name. There is a name more powerful than my name. There is a position more greater than my position. There is somebody by the name of Jesus. And at his name, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. And we'll call him King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I'm going to my seat right now. Herod thought he had Jesus, But Herod didn't know that Jesus was protected by Almighty God. Herod thought it had killed all the boys, he would kill Jesus. But Herod took Jesus down to Egypt, where black folk looked like you and I, took care of him. And then when Herod died, Jesus came back. Let me close out right now. Our God always has the final word. The devil may try, but God has the final word. The devil may try to take you out, but somebody knows God has a plan for your life. The enemy will try to sabotage you, but God has the final word. The enemy will try to take you out, but God has the final word. Does anybody know the devil will try you? The devil will tempt you, that weapons may be formed against you, but they won't prosper. Aren't you glad God is your protector? He has the final word in your life. The enemy will try to take you out, but thanks be to God that we serve a God and a Savior who has the final word. Is there anybody right now who's glad? I said real glad. Hallelujah glad that the enemy tried to take you out, but God had the final word. Stand to your feet. If you're saved, you belong to God exclusively. Hear me, God doesn't want to share you. God doesn't want to share you with the enemy. If you're saved, He filled you with His Spirit, sealed you to the day of redemption, and we are God's property. God doesn't want to share us. We belong to Him. Somebody right now, my brother, my sister, God wants you. If you're not saved, God wants you. God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your life. He wants what is best for you. If you have yet to accept Him as your Lord and Savior, I want you to come from wherever you are. If you don't have a church home where you're connected to other brothers and sisters in Christ, not a church home where folk are hating on you, jealous of you, scheming on you, sabotaging, worried that you got more of a gift than they got, so they don't want you to sing no songs, want you to serve, can't use your gifts, I want you to come now. You need to be part of a healthy body. People are going to push you to be better, do better. If I'm speaking to you right now, my brother, my sister, I want you to come from wherever you are. Today ought to be the day we make up in our mind we are not going to allow the enemy to use us anymore. How many of us admit you've been used by the enemy at one time or another? My brother, my sister, you're not saved. I want you to come forward. Come from wherever you are. God bless you, brother. Have a seat right here. You're not saved. You don't have a church home. I want you to come from wherever you are. From wherever you are. Wherever you are. You don't have a church home. You're not connected. I want you to come from wherever you are. This word was for you, challenged you, convicted you. I want you to come to the altar. This ain't the kind of word where folks shout off of it, but sometimes conviction is better than a good shout. Sometimes, take us right here. Are you joining? Okay, amen. Have a seat right there. Amen. Okay, amen. Those are your boys, aren't they? They are loaded. Okay. All y'all joining. Amen. Praise God. Amen. If this word was for you, you got convicted by the Holy Spirit, I want you to come to the altar. This ain't just for young folk. You could be 80 years old and the devil use you. Let me tell you something. The more influence you have, the more he wants to use you. The devil would want nothing more but for me to fall, get caught up in some scandal. I got influence. I got influence. 2,500 people call me their pastor. Another 5,000 people watch us on live stream every week. Enemy would want nothing more than to see me on the News and Observer. Doing a perp walk, wearing orange. Not orange, orange. Pastor, scandal. Don't think the enemy, don't disbelieve the devil. Don't disbelieve the reality of the devil. And don't think the devil doesn't want to get you. Small stuff. It starts small, but that's, it snowballs. It snowballs. You gave family reunion, you let him drink a little wine. It ain't gonna hurt him. He's 16. Next thing you know, they're 28. They full-blown addict, alcoholic. It ain't gonna hurt you. You get a little sniff of this, a little bit of that. It's all, you ain't gonna get hooked 5 years later. Come on, I'm trying to help somebody. Don't get started on something. All of my young people, I want y'all to stay drug-free. Alcohol free. I want y'all to stay drug and alcohol free. Mamas and daddies, don't get mad. They start using because they seen you using. It ain't gonna hurt them. Yes, it will. Ain't nothing better for you than water. Lord, I pray right now for every man and woman at this, under the sound of my voice. I pray for parents. I pray for teachers, educators, people of influence, that we yield totally, completely, exclusively to you. I pray that we don't make any room for the enemy to influence our lives. I pray, God, that we yield daily, that we die daily to self, so we don't make any room for the enemy to sabotage, steal, kill, destroy, tear down, create confusion, discourage, deceive, distract, or do anything that the enemy wants to do. I pray, God, for an army of believers who are sold out, who are all in, because we respond to your love for us. Touch now. Give us the wherewithal to resist every temptation. Everyone. Not just the public ones, but every temptation. So you can use us for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.